Friend's Journal, August 2016. The Dwelling Place Within by Lola George, read by the author. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. John Chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. My first meeting for worship. I had the most remarkable experience the first time I stepped over the threshold of a meeting house. The room was quiet, and I knew that I was supposed to sit in silence. I sat down and closed my eyes. For a while, I fidgeted and tried to make myself comfortable on the bench. After what seemed like a long time, I felt a feeling of peace and calmness within myself, a sense of well-being, that everything was as it should be. It then became clear in my mind that sitting in silence in the meeting house was a metaphor for turning inward, away from the strife of the everyday world and toward the peace that I had found within. Since that day, over a dozen years ago, I have worshipped in the manner of Friends in a myriad of locations. These locations can and have influenced my inner experience and my ability to cultivate an inner dwelling place. I have often thought about my first meeting for worship and about how my experience coincides with Jesus' words recorded in Luke 17, "The kingdom of God is within you." Though I prefer to see it as a kingdom of heaven where we are each other's kin. What I've found is that my Quaker space is not an external space, nor an internal space, but rather an eternal space. Early morning worship. It's a few minutes before 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning in January. It's mostly dark. I can see some stars. The air is cold and crisp, and I can see my own breath when I exhale. I enter the warmth of the meeting house and take a seat on the bench. As I close my eyes, a handful of friends join me. We have been meeting together for years, sitting in silent, waiting worship for an hour or so as the sun slowly rises. The darkness becomes light as the sunbeams casually make their way around the room with the rising sun. The meeting ends, we shake hands, and pleasantries are exchanged in hushed tones. As we gather our things and leave the meeting house, we step out of the darkness and into the light. I would come to cherish this ritual of entering the meeting house in the darkness and leaving it in the light. Experiencing the external dawn while in worship was a way of experiencing an internal dawning within myself. I gradually came to recognize that my own darkness will end and the light will return, only to be followed by more darkness and then, of course, more light. I developed an appreciation for the cyclical nature of the world, of my life, and of the spirit. Watching the sunrise week after week while sitting in the same spot gave me an appreciation for the change of seasons as well. Sometimes I was bundled warmly. Sometimes the windows would be open and the birds would be singing. Sometimes it rained. Sometimes it snowed. Sometimes a storm raged outside, and sometimes a storm raged in me. And sometimes the leaves gently floated to the ground. I have always cherished the changing of the seasons. However, watching them year after year from the same viewpoint imparted upon me a spiritual appreciation for sitting still and watching the world change around me from this peaceful internal space. twilight meeting for worship. I am sitting under a huge oak tree on the crest of a hill. This oak tree has been here a very long time. Its trunk and branches are thick and strong. Maybe this tree is hundreds of years old. It feels that old. I have hiked here with some friends. Our goal was to hike to a spot where no human-made object can be seen, and to worship together as the sun sets. There are no buildings or cars or roads to be seen in any direction, only meadows and rolling grassy hills. Everything is so green. And as we settle into worship, the crickets start their evening song, and the sky starts changing hues, and the stars begin to twinkle. I take off my shoes and feel the earth with my feet, gently caressing her with my toes. The bugs are out tonight, but I don't mind. I feel peaceful and content. Sitting in silence and observing nature while the sun sets is a vastly different experience than sitting in a meeting house as the sun rises. It reminds me that there is value in turning down the light. There is also beauty in turning up the darkness, and I can find peace and contentment there as well. Darkness is a part of life. There is nothing to fear here. Instead, I have learned that there's a cyclical nature to lightness and darkness, and this idea brings me great comfort. In a similar way, I have my own period of internal darkness and internal lightness. We live in a culture that does not honor the darkness or shadow side of life, but instead hyper-focuses on the lightness and the happy side of life. Yet both are valid, and in fact, it seems to me that both are essential parts of life. The seed that grew this magnificent oak tree started in the darkness of the earth. The life within the seed began its journey by growing in that darkness before it broke the surface of the earth and sent a tentative and tender green shoot stretching towards the sun. In a similar way, I notice my own tender shoots of new growth emerging from my darkest places. Easter sunrise worship. It is very early on a damp, misty morning. It's drizzling and cold. I am sitting on a folding chair in the middle of a burial ground, surrounded by rows and rows of low headstones encased in a stone wall. This is Easter morning, sunrise worship. I am thinking about life and death, and I suppose that is exactly the point, to hold meeting for worship in a graveyard on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. What would it really be like if someone rose from one of these graves, I wondered. These people buried here, what did they worry about? What were their cares or concerns, their joys and celebrations? I suppose I will never know, and perhaps I don't need to. What I do know is that worshiping here, in this spot, and on this day, has had a profound impact on me. This life is fleeting and passes so very quickly. How will I spend my days? What concerns do I carry? And what will I do about them? The answer today seems to be the same as it ever was. To be still an instant, turning my intention away from the external and toward the internal space where the kingdom of heaven dwells in me. No matter what my concerns or worries are, no matter what the strife I sense in myself or others, there is an internal dwelling place that I can return to again and again. Worship at Occupy Philadelphia. I am sitting on a concrete bench surrounded by so many new faces. We are a rather ragged and eclectic group of people sitting in a circle, a level below the street. Above us, people look down from the railing, pointing to us like we're animals in a zoo. I feel somewhat like a creature on display, objectified by observers. Unlike twilight worship, we are smack in the center of human structures, sights, and sounds. The bright blue sky and the strutting pigeons are the only visible signs of nature. The sounds of the city drown out messages. Someone begins to play a song on a guitar. The music connects us and draws us together. People clap and sway along with the music. And I feel not only united to these people, but bound together with a sacredness that astounds me. Most people at worship during Occupy Philadelphia were not Quakers. This was the first experience of Quaker worship for many of them. It was hard to hear the messages as their content was muffled by the sounds of the city. But spirit was at work here. Songs were raised, voices were lifted, silence was embraced, authority was questioned, and people were transformed. I'm reminded that Jesus did not stay in the synagogues. Rather, he was out on the streets, walking, talking, eating, teaching, and camping. Worship during Occupy made me wonder why we wait for people to come to a meeting house to worship when we could hold worship anywhere. And not only can we hold worship anywhere, perhaps we should. Home-based worship. There is a knock on the door. I open it and welcome friends into my home. There are bags and bowls and plates of food. Tonight we will worship in the manner of friends in my living room. This is a very intimate and personal experience of worship, one that draws us together week after week. We gather around my glass coffee table, and I light two candles. The flames crackle and dance in their reflection, mirroring themselves on the surface of the glass. I settle into silence, aware of the rhythm of friends around the circle. I sense a bond between us that welcomes the divine within our midst. Worshiping with a small group of friends each week has been a blessing for me. Unlike early morning worship, where I sat in the same spot for years and watched the world change around me, this worship experience was the complete opposite. Each week I was in a different home, and although the external space was full of diversity, I began to sense an internal space that was consistent. And while on an external level I welcomed others into my home, on an internal level I was being welcomed home. I learned experientially that the kingdom of heaven is within me, and that this sacred place within welcomed me as an honored guest. I came to rely upon the certainty of my internal place, and that it welcomes me, wants to be in relationship with me, and is actively cultivating that relationship. What a blessing to feel the tug of spirit asking me to dwell with it in an intimate and holy way. Extended worship. The clock softly clicks and I open my eyes. It is noon and I've been sitting here in silence for nearly 2.5 hours. We will break meeting sometime in the next 45 minutes or so, when the Spirit lets us know that worship has adjourned. I have been in a deep place this morning that I call, quote, the zone, end quote. It's difficult to describe in words. People have written or spoken of that still small place within, or the light within, or the peace that passes understanding. Today, I feel these things in extended worship, but also something much more delicious, a quiet and tranquil mind. For over a decade now, I have shifted my awareness from an external space and turned towards an inward, towards an internal space. But this is so much more. It is an eternal space, a sacred dwelling space, a holy communion with the divine. Extended worship for me is like a slice of heaven. It is an opportunity for me to spend what feels like a luxurious amount of time where I can cultivate my relationship with the divine. Each time I worship, I try to come with holy, empty hands unto God, and to have the intention of emptying myself and getting out of my own head so that I can listen, really listen, to that spark of the divine in me. I have the sense of an eternal dwelling place just below the surface of my consciousness, where I am welcomed into a holy relationship with God. Quaker Space. While the outward manifestations of where I have worshipped have taken many forms, my inward experience is significantly more important. Exploring a variety of external places to worship enables my internal experience to change and to grow over time and provides new lenses for me to view my internal experience. As I've turned from an external space to an internal space, I have found within me a sacred dwelling space. This sacred dwelling space is an eternal space, an inner sanctuary where the Spirit nudges me into holy relationship and calls me home. Dare I say I have truly found the kingdom of heaven itself, if only for a little while? Lola George is a member of Media Friends Meeting in Pennsylvania. Currently, she is a licensed professional counselor in private practice. Previously, she had an extensive career in financial management for nonprofit organizations, including Quaker organizations. She loves Viv Hawkins, and they live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The piece you just heard was produced by Friends Journal. Friends Journal's mission is to communicate Quaker experience in order to connect and deepen spiritual lives. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate us on iTunes and consider becoming a member at friendsjournal.org/grow. Thanks for your support.